Health Radio Show. I'm here today with my guest, Laura Alden Kalm, who is the author of, Intuitive Wellness and the founder and director of the Center for Applied Energy Medicine in Scottsdale, Arizona. And today we're interviewing her on her Sounds True audio CD set, Unlocking Your Intuitive Power, How to Read the Energy of Anything. Hello, Laura. Are you calling from Arizona?
No, actually, I'm in Florida right now.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, sunny Florida.
Well, great. I guess our listeners would be interested in hearing how you came to, I guess, reacquire your gifts. I was reviewing your story on your website, and you were born with these gifts. Is that correct?
Yes, like many people, I came into this world sensitive. I remember as a young child experiencing, highly sensitive moments in my life. You know, usually out when I'm in nature, there seemed to be this lovely stillness that would come over, and then I would see colors flash off of trees and flowers and animals and things of that nature, and I really thought that was very normal. And the more I have talked with people through my work and through the years, I've found numerous people, many, many, many people have these types of sensitivities where they hear and see and feel and know the extraordinary world that is beyond the ordinary sense of reality. But I do believe it's something that we all can do. And I had many experiences throughout my childhood, some seemingly mundane, some rather profound. And at 26, when I was studying architecture, beginning stages of studying architecture at Indiana State University, I suddenly became very ill. I was married, had two very adorable toddlers at the time, and within 11 days, I was totally blind, and my body just lay dead in an ambulance. I was being transferred from one hospital to another. The hospital that I checked myself into was in my small town in Ohio, and the doctors there, God love them, they just couldn't figure out what was going on. And you have to remember, this is 1982, when CAT scans and MRIs were not really available in small communities. So I was in an ambulance. A nurse looked at my mother and said, "I'm sorry, we've lost her." And I remember watching all of this, not even recognizing the body that was lying on the gurney. And then I realized it was me. I knew that was my mother, but I couldn't figure out who was on the gurney.
Right.
There's this young woman there with disheveled hair, and my eyes were so, under such strain from the cranial pressure in my head that they were bugging out way beyond anything Betty Davis could have come up with.
Right.
You know, so I decided I don't want any more of this. I'm out
right.
of here. And it was just like the giant cosmic Hoover got a hold of me, and I just got sucked into this tunnel of light, went over on the other side, and had an amazing experience. And I saw my life in the past form, you know, experiences of childhood and growing up. And then I saw some things in the future, and ever since that time, I know I run across different episodes in my life where I get this solid sensation that, yes, this is what I was shown when I was on the other side. And I was brought back and came back and had a choice, actually. I was told I could stay, but they really wanted me to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I woke up from a coma a few days later, and unfortunately I started to slip again about a week later, and had to have surgery. Turned out I had brain abscesses in the right occipital lobe of my brain and spinal meningitis brought about by a dermoid cyst, which is a twin in utero, that had gotten infected and over a nine-month period had created the abscesses in the occipital.
Now, I'm a plastic surgeon, so I'm well aware of the dermoid cyst.
Yes. It was when I had it, I had this little bump in the midline of my head, and when the doc took it out in his office, he said, "Wow, little brown hair is growing on it."
Right.
And
right.
I said, "Let me see." And he showed it to me, and sure enough, there they were, same color as my hair on my head.
Right.
But we didn't know what it was, and pathology didn't catch it either. So an infection ensued down the hollow tube. and into the benign tumors that were located at the other end of that barbell-like situation.
Unfortunately, on the wrong side of the dura.
yes, definitely on the wrong side of the dura, absolutely.
Right.
And so, but, you know, even going through something like that, that was just rather traumatic to the body and to every part of my being, I wouldn't change it for the world because of what I've been able to experience since that time.
Right.
And I regained most of my eyesight, but I still have blindness in the left occipital field in both eyes, left visual field, rather, in both eyes. And it's called hemianopsia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a real interesting way to live. I see half of everything that I'm looking at.
Right.
And, you know, I can track and move my eyes because the issue is in the brain. And, you know, I can look at a tree and only see half of it physically, but energetically experience all of it in its fullness.
Well, that's interesting because then half of the physical energy of it's been removed, but the energetic stays there.
Yes, it does.
So
yes,
that really gives you a unique perspective.
It does, and I tell you, we do live in a magical world. What little I've read of physics, particularly superstring and quantum,
mm-hmm.
where it exemplifies how interconnected we all are atomically and energetically, I get to experience that world all the time, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful. I cannot explain and describe how grateful I am that I get to see this electromagnetic holographic pulsation of life
mm-hmm.
at that level all of the time. And sometetimes it can get a little chaotic depending on where I am. You know, New York
right.
City, for
yeah.
instance, is a
too
little
much.
Bit of a trip. But,
right.
but, you know, in general, I have a dimmer switch these days, and I can
mm-hmm.
kind of dial it down and or amp it up, depending on what the need is. And so from that, you know, I actually thought I was either going crazy or getting sick again when these colors
mm-hmm.
started to come back as I was physically healing from the ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually ran back to this brilliant neurosurgeon in Ohio, and he
mm-hmm.
checked me out, and I was fine. And he told me I was seeing Curlian fields,
mm-hmm.
which are the electromagnetic fields that Russian scientists had discovered
right.
decades earlier. And I said, what? Because I hadn't heard of them, and I didn't know what a chakra or meridian was from Ayurvedic
mm-hmm.
or Chinese medicine. So I was seeing all of this and not having any paradigm to associate it with. And so that was rather challenging in the beginning. But over the years, I've just educated myself in those ideas and philosophies, as well as some basic anatomy, so I can speak more intelligently to the doctors with whom I work when their patients come to see me.
Well, I think it's amazing to me that you've used the law of attraction to get yourself a neurosurgeon who actually knew about these fields. There's probably only a couple of them on the planet, and last week I interviewed one of them. You may have known him, Dr. Norm Shealy,
who
is the father of holistic medicine.
Yes.
But he would tell you, as would other people within the spiritual medicine, the holistic world, that there aren't that many neurosurgeons that have any inkling of spiritual sight and electromagnetic fields.
I know, and you have to also consider this is 1982 when this occurred.
Yeah, which is really unusual.
Oh, I know. And add to it a very small town in Ohio of about 45,000 people.
Well, he must have read quite a bit.
Yeah, he's an extraordinary man, Dr.
Yeah.
Albert Karma, who's now retired, and I think he's just Dr. Albert Karma for me, because it's just a miracle.
It is.
That we intersected at that point in time in my life, because
yeah.
he saved my life.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure he was guided, and that's what people have to understand, that
yeah.
the guidance is always there. It's only your ability to tune into it
yeah.
that is variable. And especially, you know, if you're having surgery, I think it's very important that you have a surgeon who's attuned to guidance.
And you know, and I thoroughly agree with you, and I really have to just say here publicly that I really honor what you do, both in your medical practice and here, and how you've been able to weave your gifts into how you help other people. I think that is just the most important thing in medicine as we go forward for doctors to harness the gifts that burgeoned within them initially anyway, to go allow them, to compel them to go be healers, to
well,
be doctors.
Thank
and
you
I just
very much.
Really applaud you.
I'm one of a group of people, I'm not the only one, but in different fields,
mm-hmm.
that actually was guided specifically into the field I'm in.
Beautiful.
So I tell people I'm a spiritual healer that was guided to be a plastic surgeon.
That's beautiful, because
yeah.
so many people need that help for reconstructive surgery and just also that self-esteem boosting that comes from support from that that practice. So
right. Well, my particular assignment is the problems associated with breast implants,
uh-huh.
specifically chemical and biotoxicity.
Yeah, very important.
And that that's my. I think we all have had particular assignments.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the doctors were assigned to the Gulf War. Some to the things like weaponized mycoplasma and.
Mm-hmm.
And some to fibromyalgia, some to chronic fatigue.
Yeah.
But each of these diseases seems to have had a particular doctor assigned to it that actually got the disease,
mm-hmm.
and because they were very intuitive, figured it out or figured a great deal of it out. And then I was spiritually guided to get breast implants, and then one side leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was only on one side of my body, similar to your sight issue,
mm-hmm.
I was really able to differentiate what was normal and then what was from the chemical and biotoxicity.
Wow, that's
so it's all guidance.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And you
it
know
is.
That. I mean, it really is.
It boils down to that. And we all have it, this incredible inner wisdom that we can use at any moment, in any time, asleep or awake. And it is the most brilliant part of who we are as human beings, that we
really
are
is.
Allowed to access it here through these bodies in this world, which is sometimes very challenging, but nonetheless can be done.
It is. I really enjoyed your CD series, and I wanted to let the listeners know that it is a system of a organized system, an organized course on how to not just read energy from, like, say, a medical intuition, other humans,
mm-hmm.
your pets, living things, but also buildings and other energetic things that are actually very, very useful. I've spent 13 years in the military, so of course I've got a place in my heart for those who are in danger in Iraq and other parts of the world. And
mm-hmm.
you told a great story within your CD set about how you helped a major.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind sharing that as
no,
kind of an introduction on how you can read energy in buildings and how important that can be?
It can be extremely important. And this Army major and I were speaking. I was in Arizona at the time. He was stationed in Iraq. And we had spoken before on several issues, and we were talking about family ancestry at the time. So something, you know, completely off topic of what came forward. And this is why it's so important to be that open vessel when you're being intuitive and get the personality out of the way and just
right.
be of service. And so as we were speaking, I just, like many intuitives, and I think just natural to the skill, I can telescope in and telescope out. So it doesn't matter the position I place my consciousness in. It's very nimble and very mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, close at hand for most of our conversation, but then all of a sudden my vision pulled way out.
Mm-hmm.
As if I was probably about 50 feet above the building in which he was sitting. And so I just kind of interrupted our conversation. I said, you know, what's on the southeast side of the building? And he said, well, it's really rather empty. And I said, well, what's on the northwest side of the building? That's the area that concerns me. And he said, well, that's where our offices are. And I said, is there any way you can move to the southeast corner? I said, and this was in January several
mm-hmm.
years ago, or I think 2004, and I said, in mid-February, just right at the turn of the third week, there's going to be an explosion at the northwest corner of the compound in the building. There's going to be some damage, and I'd rather you be out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard from him for a while, and I was a little concerned, and then, you know, with everything else in life, you just keep moving forward. And he sent me a picture about a year and a half after that conversation of the both the compound and the barracks around the compound. These are huge concrete barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Were just obliterated because on the 19th of February, there was a suicide bomber there. And he had heeded my words because he trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so pleased for him and his team because they moved to the southeast corner and none of them were hurt.
That was a really good move on his part.
He was very intuitive there.
Right.
You know, that's just not taking me on blind faith. That's really
using
paying
his own
attention.
Guidance. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Following his guidance, and everyone needs to do that whenever you're talking to anybody who's either a professional intuitive or mm-hmm. not an intuitive per se on a professional level. You always have to double check with your own guidance. It will never steer you into danger. It will never steer you the wrong way. And you can always rely on it. And the hang up is, as I'm sure you know, that, you know, you get the signal, you get this information, and then you don't trust it. You try and double back around it and make it reasonable or logical, and that's where people get hung up and sometimes get into trouble by not listening to that.
Yeah, I tell people the guidance is always true. It's
mm-hmm.
just your interpretation of it could be off because of things you misunderstand.
Right, right. Absolutely. It's, 99% of it's interpretation, and that's why I teach in Unlocking Your Intuition course and in my public courses and lectures. You really need to have that supportive foundation or understanding that builds the capacity to develop stillness. And
mm-hmm.
spaciousness around you, because when you don't have that, just, you know, normal life and personality tends to get in the way and jam up the signals. So meditation or some practice of contemplation, I believe, is very essential to be able to hone your skills, to build discernment, to foster trust, and then you understand the quality of sound and texture and voice, the auditory nature of it, the feeling nature of intuitive signals, and so you don't get your signals crossed.
That's true. So let's talk a little bit about consciousness and
mm-hmm.
how it is not limited. You're able to go out like and look down on the earth or down on even the solar system,
mm-hmm.
take your consciousness that far out. You're able to go down even subcellular into the molecular and atomic area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also able to go different areas of time. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're not even necessarily set to look only in this space-time continuum. You can
yeah.
you know, you can go outside of this particular time. Is
yeah.
that not right? You
can, yeah, that's correct. And anyone can do that, and I've been sometimes I laugh at myself because I'm like a clumsy intuitive. I've stumbled onto all of these places.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that having the near-death experience and being thrust over to the other side and just having some consciousness awakening in that
mm-hmm.
regard, in that realm, allows me to navigate back and forth, perhaps a little bit easier than someone who hadn't had that. However, that being said, I do believe with practice, because I'm fortunate enough, I'm a professional intuitive now,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, so I get to practice all the time. So I know that has honed my skill. So in this audio program, I teach people how to move in and out, because mobility is key to be able to traverse these different dimensions, to even have the idea that, wow, I can look behind me intuitively. I can sense what's coming at my back. I can do work long distance. It doesn't matter in the intuitive world. It's
mm-hmm.
the non-local mind, as physicists call it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no space and time. So it is an enormous, infinite playground, far beyond what our imaginations or logical thinking can describe. And it's a riot. It is so much fun to play in that way. And I also think play, that spiritual innocence inside all of us, is
mm-hmm.
also very important. Because if you get too serious about it, it'll throw you off. You know, that's the ego jumping in. And
sure.
You really have to play with it.
Yeah.
Have fun.
So in terms of, in terms of the physical places, we know that you can go, into different, you can project your intuition into Iraq or into, any different physical places. But as you move through time, do you get a sense of more danger in certain time frames? I guess I'm going to ask you about the future, say, the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Are there times that seem to be more dangerous or more where more caution is needed as we look forward in time.
Yes, absolutely, there are. And it certainly depends on the context. There's economic hazards up ahead.
Right.
You know, there are geophysical hazards up ahead, geopolitical hazards up ahead.
Because that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the, you know, more earthquakes and more, you know, and certainly economic economic things that are just almost coming to a head in the next 6 months or so.
Right. I think the unemployment issue is just going to get extremely severe, and my concern is just Wall Street is doing what they can because companies are leaner now. They're they're seemingly more productive and profitable because of the global economic system. You know, it's just not inherent within the continental United States as far as buying and selling anymore. So they can get leaner and more profitable, whereas the unemployment's going to get up. But I really think around September, some sectors are going to turn around. I don't think housing's going to turn around for quite a while. But, again, it depends on where you are in the
United States. Yeah.
As far as geophysical, this is the time of fire, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the Ring of Fire in the, you know, the Pacific, but everywhere. There is certainly, if the listeners want to play with this at some other time, get in a quiet place and get centered, take some breaths, do whatever practice you have that serves you, and then take your consciousness and go float above the planet for a little while and get a sense of the geomagnetic, the wobbling that's going on. That's really quite significant right now, and it's changing a frequency. Poles are electromagnetically starting to change and morph. Whether that full-on goes geophysically or not, I'm not even convinced of that, although I think there will be a little bit of rattling going on here.
And all of that's tied to the solar flares, too, so you
could
monitor that. I think there's a place you can monitor that on the web.
Right.
So, but people are unaware that, you know, unaware that all of this is going on. I think they're so caught up in their day-to-day lives, they don't realize the significant changes that are happening in the solar system.
Right, and sensitive people who, you know, turn that into, you know, it's all about me and I'm really feeling neurotic right now, really have to realize that when volcanoes are popping off all over the planet, that's affecting them.
Yeah, it is. Because volcanoes, earthquakes, and tsunamis are all related.
Yes, they are.
And the public doesn't realize that either. I mean, the tsunami is only formed by the underground earthquakes that disturb the, you know, the oceans. And then earthquakes and volcanoes. And then this is a time of fire, like you said.
Yeah, it is.
But destabilizations of the electromagnetic wobbling, like you said, by the solar flares are exactly what is going to set off this. And what I got intuitively is the areas in danger are the Ring of Fire, some parts of China, and then Indonesia. Those are the areas I see. But then there was an earthquake in Italy, I think, this week or within a week.
Yeah, and
so it's not just there.
No, it's not just there. The tectonic plates are, you know, very slow to move, and but when they move, everybody knows it, and it sets off a trigger effect in other places. You know, again, sometimes very slowly because geological time on the planet is much slower, as we know. So, but geopolitical areas are the typical hot spots that, you know, that have been talked about forever in the news. And there's just, you know, if people are prayerful in their daily lives to send
healing
positive vibes into the Middle East, you know, is an obvious thing to do.
Right.
China, Korea, the whole thing is just South America. I mean, there's so many areas that people can really can make an impact on.
Yeah, we need to pray for the American captain taken by the Somalian pirates, too. I've been doing that this morning.
Good. Yeah. The prayer list is long and worthwhile these days. So,
yeah,
but a lot of this is necessary, if you will, if you move your consciousness back from, as best you can, from the obvious pain and suffering that's going on in humanity right now on all levels, because it's rather relative sometimes. You've got to understand the movement that we're making consciously as a species, as a planet, as a living, breathing world. And when anything changes, whether it's a tectonic plate or an attitude within a person, there's movement. And it can be catastrophic or it can be subtle. But we are moving through important evolutionary times as far as consciousness. We cannot stay asleep anymore. Even those who try to stay asleep are going to be so disrupted and destabilized. And that's what's going on economically. That's what's going on geophysically. And it's really, there's a lot of beauty in it. Even though people are suffering, and I don't take anything away from that pain, as I have great empathy and great compassion, but there is a beauty in the sense that this is giving us more space. People are waking up to not hurt each other anymore. It's the only way we can get through to the point where we can have a cessation of violence and suffering that's here on the planet. And it's just an evolution, again, which is small adaptations over time. So it's not necessarily going to be an easy ride, but there are joyful, powerful, poignant moments of shift in consciousness that will fill you with joy and abundance of expectation and abundance of space so you can get more conscious in your own life and make better choices. So it's a huge, huge thing that's going on right now and has been for a while.
It's a great healing, and at the end of it may very well be the opportunity for global peace. That's the thing that's so amazing.
Yes,
and
I agree.
You know, things have to be, I guess, shaken up a bit for people to wake up. Remember, Buddha said, "I'm not different than you. I'm simply awake."
Yes.
Which,
yes,
I thought was like, "Well, what does being awake mean, Buddha?" You know?
Yes, yes. Yeah, funny thing about that. Didn't quite finish that story.
Yeah.
But you know, another thing. Speaking of Buddha, that that he said that I think is very important as people grow as individuals. That he said, neither jagged criticism nor flowery praise will keep me from my path. And, you know, you could look at that as neither suffering or joyous times can keep me from my path. So in other words, whatever is happening on the left and right side of your life, so to speak, stay in the middle, stay on the path, stay awake as much as you can be, and stay true to who you are from a soul level and allow that beautiful spirit to come through your personality, and it will propel you naturally.
I think too that I always have this presence within me. It was there when you know, the first memories that I have.
Mm-hmm.
It was there when I was deathly ill from a couple of things that, you know, might have taken me out but didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will always be there no matter what. It'll be there after I die.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is real. And, you know, the Course in Miracles says, what is real cannot be threatened.
Mm-hmm.
What is unreal does not exist. Therein lies the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I really know this part of myself. I know that that part is there. That part will, in times of danger, guide me. And it's gotten me out of some life-threatening situations. You know, guns to my head, knife to my throat, that kind of thing.
Oh,
and it is simply knowing that that part of me is not bound by space or time. And I think that once you know that part of you, you never will be lonely again. I know that. I mean, loneliness goes out the window. I mean, because you always have that higher aspect of yourself that is not able to be threatened by anything. And if everybody in the world would wake up to the fact that they have this higher aspect of themselves, then they would treat each other differently. Because that higher aspect is all the same for all of us.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And just everything would change. And I think that is a point of discontent and a great deal of fear for a lot of people. Because I'm sure, as you know, when you're thrust into a situation where your consciousness is pressing you to wake up no matter what through, you know, like you've experienced a physical situation myself, and, you know, usually happens through a crisis when we're just catapulted to another level.
Right.
But that day-to-day choice for being awake and to create space can provoke quite a bit of fear in people. And so it takes a great deal of courage to, you know, hold a spiritual line, to hold the awareness of interconnectedness, of if I do this or if I buy this, what's the ripple effect here? Not only in myself, in my own body, in my life, in my wallet, but what about the people next to me or down the road or in a different country? And that's what's slowly starting to change. And it's a slow change, and Wall Street, you know, God love those people. I don't know if they're really, some of them are getting it and some of them aren't.
Well, it's like any institution. The battles go within the government, they go within them. Because I was in the military. I know that the military is not all one way. It's like any other institution. It's the whole spectrum of energies. And you know, so in anything, but there is a battle going on in each institution. There's a battle going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, which is going to win? Power and money, the desire. Well, it's more the desire for power and money, or you know, the desire to bring out other other qualities that are more sustaining.
Right, because money is not the issue; it's the attitude about it.
That's right.
And you know, I'm a pacifist at heart, but I, too, actually was in the United States Navy. And I have a very strong patriotic streak in me. And for some who have heard the story about Iraq, they question why I'm even talking about it or why I'm talking to somebody in the military, because that's not peaceful. And they just don't understand that it is peaceful. These you know, it certainly every battle has its casualties, no matter what. That's the nature of battle. But knowing military people the way I do, and I've seen a lot, and I'm sure you've seen a lot more.
I have.
You know, they go into it like a doctor or a surgeon and or anybody who cares about somebody else. It's about justice, about freedom, it's about peace, inevitable peace.
And it's about duty, and also I want to remind people that the people that enter the military are doing so because they're guided to do.
Absolutely.
Do so, and it's so important that that takes place. Look at all the pathology that happened when we drafted people for Vietnam, and how I interviewed the author of War and the Soul, and how thrusting people who were not guided to be in Vietnam into Vietnam damages at the soul level, which I believe it did. Then, you know, very few people know this, but, you know, the term going postal, I learned this from the author. That going postal is because when these injured soldiers came back from Vietnam, they were often hired by the post office. So they were having post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, like flashbacks in the post office. And that was what going postal meant. You know, so.
For heaven's sakes, I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know, so people assumed that it was just people in the post office. No, it was the Vietnam vets who weren't properly, you know, de-stressed or brought back into society that went postal. So we're all, the point of it is we're all responsible. It's like the Dalai Lama said. I watched him give a talk at the press press conference, and somebody said, "Who is responsible for world hunger?" And he says, "We all are responsible for world hunger."
Yeah.
There's not one of you out there that isn't responsible for everything.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And so you know, when you look at it that way, you know, your decision to send these young men into battle can reach back and kill your relative at the post office, you know. So
No, I agree with you. We all have things to do here, whether we consciously know about them at all, but we can certainly tell within us when we're going down the wrong path.
Right.
And that's where you just always have to pay attention. You can tell when you're going down the right path. And sometimes you're compelled and you're not sure, but you have to follow that compulsion, because it will reveal itself in time. And you're absolutely right. We all have a mission here.
We do. And we have to respect each other's missions, too.
Yes.
And, I mean, about the only question you can ask is this person, you know, following their guidance? You may not be privy to what that is, but there's certainly guidance at every level. if you will listen to it.
Yes.
And like you said, it's so important to have a meditative or at least a contemplative practice so that you can quiet everything down so that you can get a sense of where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be with and what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes, because if you don't, your little sweet ego will just run amok on you and give you all kinds of ideas that are not true to form or true to who you are or what you need to be doing.
Right.
So it's really quite essential to be able to create that spaciousness and stillness from which all answers will come. That's what amazes me about the intuitive ability. You don't need to be an expert in everything. You just need to be an expert in your own self, know your own stuff, get it out of the way, create space, and
mm-hmm.
ask reasonable questions, and the answers will always come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can you imagine a world where everybody is able to do that? We couldn't have criminals anymore. They wouldn't be able to exist. Everybody would know who they are.
I actually am starting to be able to sense that transformation. And I can honestly say that I didn't have access to that. I always had the desire, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have access to some of the more tangible, intuitive evidence of it until about 2007. When I saw what was going to happen economically here and how that would spin everybody out, because it's a global situation, not just about us.
Yeah,
so with that, so much transformation about what's important. I mean, the common things of prioritizing
mm-hmm.
and, you know, where you need to be, who you need to be with, what do you really need to be doing with your life. All of that is so catalytic right now, and people are being tossed into themselves more deeply than they ever have been in,
mm-hmm.
in multiple generations. So it's really quite a profound shift. And I do believe at some point, I may or may not be here on the planet, but
mm-hmm.
we will get there.
Yeah. Oh, I think we will too.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to give your contact information for our listeners, and then we'll come back and talk some more about your CD set?
That'd be lovely. My website is www.energymedicine.org, and my telephone number here in Florida is 321-939-6939. Again, that's 321-939-6939.
And you have your current series is Unlocking Your Intuitive Power, and it's a Sounds True CD series, which people can listen to. I listen to it in my car. It's easier to do it there.
You're brave.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I did all the exercises in my car.
Okay.
But
that would be a little risky to do some of those visualizations
pop
in your
out of
car.
Mine.
Yeah,
right.
But that was a really wonderful program to create for people, because so many people you know, come to me for the medical intuitive aspect of the work, but, you know, underneath all of that, there are a lot of business people that come to me. Real estate developers want to know about, you know, the structure of a multi-million dollar building before they
mm-hmm.
put a lot of money into it, or people
That's
are
a really,
really
good idea, by the way.
Yeah, it really is a very good idea, isn't it? And find developers
right.
water in the desert and save
mm-hmm.
them hundreds of thousands of dollars in drilling expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to be there, you know, I just go in and do what I do. And some of the more heartwarming things are when people are very, very sick from some kind of environmental
mm-hmm.
Toxin.
You can find it.
And,
yeah.
and you know, contractors or whomever can't
mm-hmm.
find it without
right.
ripping up the house. That's when I get called in to find the source
Mm-hmm.
of the mold or the pollutant, and, you know, then they can clean it up and take care of it. And,
yeah, that is very important. I have some personal
yeah.
experience with that. I was standing in my shower, and I felt that the shower might totally go down into the crawl space, just drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I expanded out and saw termite damage in two of the major beams. There were four
yeah.
beams in the house. And then when we actually looked, there was termite damage exactly where I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And the contractor said, "How did you know that?" And I said, "You know, it all started with a vision of my shower dropping into my crawl space."
However it comes.
And,
I mean,
and it's not just Dr. Kolb's crazy imagination either, because there's
yeah.
proof at the other end,
that's
you know.
Right. That's
and
right.
These are very, very strong impressions. And you're yeah. right. You can send your consciousness out. And it kind of takes over in times of danger, is what I've found. Mm-hmm. When it's very, very dangerous, it'll take over mm-hmm. and then show you exactly where the danger is. I mean, it's not like I sat in my shower and said, gee, I'm going to meditate now and see if my house is dangerous.
Right. No, it shows up.
It does.
Exactly on time, whenever you need it. And without calling it forward, and you can, it's also on demand,
right?
If you need it. So but for safety and survival issues and things that can cause damage in lots of areas, either mm-hmm. structurally or monetarily, there
right.
with the house, being chewed on by termites, it will show up right
mm-hmm.
when you need it. It will save you.
It will. I mean, when they actually investigated. We were getting to it before parts of the house fell in.
Wow.
That would be a lot more expensive if that had happened.
Yeah, so that's, that's a safety issue, I would say.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Kidding.
It just comes in. And so I remember riding in a car, and this is when I lived up on Whidbey Island, north of Seattle in the San Juans, and it was one of the typical mornings where it was foggy, and
mm-hmm.
we were driving along the major road, which is only two lanes, and
mm-hmm.
very quickly, intuition came in, get to the shoulder now. And so I jerked the wheel over and scared the heck out of the person driving.
Goodness.
But there it was, a fully loaded log truck coming right at us. It was passing
mm-hmm.
a car in the fog. And we were in just a little two-seater, and we would have just been creamed.
Yeah.
And so it just, within seconds, boom, it was right there for us and saved our lives.
And I've always told people that one of the main reasons you don't want to drink and drive or use drugs and drive is because that protective intuition is then stifled.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really how a lot of auto accidents occur, is that your own natural intuition isn't there for you when you've clouded your mind with substance abuse.
That's very true,
particularly
in driving, but
right.
in other contexts of life, too. I mean, if you're looking for a partner and you're doing it through
alcohol, a lot of drinking
and things like that, you're really going to have your antenna distorted. And
right.
Boy, then the cleanup of that is always a lot harder, because just like anything else in life, it's easier to get into a project than it is to get out.
That's right.
And
that's
so,
right.
Any kind of alcohol, substance abuse, and even if you have low tolerances to things like sugars, refined sugars, or very severe food allergies,
mm-hmm.
where it really, really kind of gums up your system, that doesn't help you either. Caffeine is not your best friend if you're sensitive to it. Some
mm-hmm.
people, when I do work, I'm looking at their liver, and the first thing I hit is this jitteriness, and they
mm-hmm.
either live in New York or they drink a lot of coffee.
All right.
And so, those types of things can thwart any kind of success when it comes to accessing that more subtle realm of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to be mindful about things, and but still enjoy your life.
So what do you do when you see things in people that are really, really clear, mm-hmm. but you're not sure if you should tell them?
Well, that's a really powerful question and a powerful situation. And,
yeah.
and since I'm not a doctor, I don't say you have cancer, you have
right.
diabetes. I don't diagnose people. I've, through the years, developed a system of,
mm-hmm.
of different qualities for different diseases, different structures in the field, different structures of texture, color, movement, viscosity, things of that nature that
mm-hmm.
indicate certain components of a disease like cancer or diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, if they're really fighting their body and not going to an appropriate healthcare provider, I will tell them that, say, for instance, for me, cancer has six different flags that it has to raise,
mm-hmm.
six different components. And if I'm seeing all six and they're still working, with prayer or a chiropractor, nothing wrong with prayer and chiropractic or Chinese medicine, but for instance, this beautiful young woman in California had been working with more alternative and some complementary therapies for a year, and she wasn't getting any better. And we
right.
had a session. It was so obvious. There was a tumor on the kidney. There were
mm-hmm.
tumors in the ovaries, and there was cancer here.
Right.
And I implored with her to get to an emergency room, get to
mm-hmm.
a doctor, and she didn't have insurance. I said, then get to an emergency room. And you know, I just have to be straight with people as
right,
best I can,
yeah.
but not try not to scare the wits out of them too.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
But you know, in this dear young woman's case, I got a call a couple of days later that you know, indeed there was a benign tumor on the kidneys, but ovarian cancer had set in.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm a real proponent of any kind of therapy or medicine that is appropriate for where the person is. And there are usually several different kinds that are supportive, including allopathic, you know, and prayer. When I was sick, my dad was up in a remote part of Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't get to me. He couldn't get home fast enough. And so he sat up all night with the members of the village, and they prayed and they sang my name in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my being, in my heart, that that helped pull me out of where I was. So, you know, there are lots of things to do, but it's not easy to tell people what I see. And some people are very mm-hmm. skittish about coming to me. You know, I'm afraid you're going to see something that I don't want to know about. And that goes to the fact that I always ask people what their intention is.
Yeah,
and then I watch their body's energy respond to their words, whether
mm-hmm.
there's congruency or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may say my knee hurts, but the problem is up in the low back, for instance.
Right.
You
right.
know, so you know, I just work as clear and as straight and compassionately as I can, and then direct people to the right healthcare providers depending on what's going on. But I have to say what I see. And in some cases, I have taken the hit and let them perceive that I am wrong because the body is going to, you know, do something in a matter of hours, and
mm-hmm.
there was no point in provoking a heightened emotional state. And so
right.
I would rather them think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And that was in a case of a miscarriage that was just hours away.
Yeah.
And she was so distraught. I said, get to your doctor. Well, I can't get there right away. It's okay. You're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to the doctor. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, I'm willing to take a hit to save somebody else's emotion when I see what's coming down the pike for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting at how truly connected we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that people need to remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, keep in mind at all times that what you put out energetically and through thought does affect others, even if you, in your belief system, thinks it doesn't.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And so it's not the easiest job, so to speak,
no.
to be a medical intuitive.
Mm-mm.
I certainly didn't think that I signed up for that one, but I did.
Yes, you did.
And for whatever reason, I'm fairly good at it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
you know,
you're
it's
drawing the maps for the rest of us.
Yeah, and you know how it is. When you get to support someone else's preciousness and
mm-hmm.
witness their pain or confusion and help as best you can unravel some of that pain for them, there is nothing more satisfying and enlightening to me than to be able to have somebody trust me in a moment in time with the preciousness of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most gratifying work I could ever do.
Yeah, and you help them find hope, which is very, very important.
Yeah, and that's hard. It's really hard to conjure up or try and find hope when you're suffering, when you're hurting. And hope, like anything else that you're feeling, is there with you in that moment.
Okay.
And so it's sometimes, even when you're in pain,
mm-hmm.
you can feel that comfort there. And that's pretty powerful.
Right.
That's healing.
Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour here, and we've been interviewing Laura Alden Cam. Is that?
Yeah, Cam.
Cam. Mm-hmm. Sounds True audio learning course, Unlocking Your Intuitive Power, How to Read the Energy of Anything. And her website is www.energymedicine.org. I encourage you to take a look at that and to experience her CDs. I enjoyed them immensely.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you very much for joining us, Laura.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
just a delightful time
talking to you, and and have a great day.
Thank you. You as well.
We are with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week we are interviewing Dr. Daniel Benor, 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Release. We've interviewed Dr. Benor before on his books on energy medicine. He's one of the experts, psychiatrists from Harvard on energy medicine. And on 25th of April, we will be interviewing David Riley on his book, The Soul Purpose. I also want to remind people of the Noetic Science Meeting. The April Noetic Science Meeting will be held on Thursday, April 16th at 7:15 p.m. at the Dunwoody office. Our guest speaker will be David on his book, The Soul Purpose, a book about life path, which is pertinent to our discussion today. Exactly how do you know what your soul has laid out for you? How do you recognize the signposts and the guidance that is coming forth through so many things? It's not just things that you hear, but also people along your path that tell you if you're on the right path or not. And even animals can share with you their knowledge of whether or not you're on your right path. If any of you would like our Community Health Source newsletter, please call us at 770-457-4677. We have either a print version or an email version, and we would be happy to get that to you. That talks about our group practice, plastic surgery, Plastikos, integrative medicine, Millennium Healthcare, and Avatar Cancer Center, and all of the services that we offer for the community. Again, thank you very much for joining us. This has been Temple of Health Radio Show.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastikos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastikos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastikos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastikos is a bargain.
Plastikos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677. Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plastikos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plastikos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plastikos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plastikos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plastikos?
Plastikos is in Dunwoody. Plastikos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plastikos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.